G'day everyone, Friday, April 19, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. The Melbourne Storm, they've done it again against the Roosters. 9 wins in their past 10 clashes now, 18-12. They're at Allianz Stadium last night thanks to that decisive try with 6 minutes left from Xavier Coates in the AFL. Well, it was a shellacking. The under-pressure Western Bulldogs smashed St Kilda by 10 goals, 60 points there last night, and a great weekend of sport ahead of us. And the band's back together because Loz is back from Singapore, and we got Pup. I think it's past 1 in the morning there in India. Is it Pup? G'day, mate. How are you going over there?
Morning, boys. Morning, Loz. Morning, Middo. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, just past 1 a.m. Everything going well, boys? It's a cricket frenzy. There's no doubt about it. Since I last spoke to you, lots happening with the Aussies. Young Fraser McGurk, you would have seen, he's got a bit of a crack. Lots of talk about him over in India. And at the end of this year's IPL, we go back into that big auction, the 3-year signing option. So I would imagine Fraser McGurk, with a couple of his innings, has made himself a couple of million bucks. So very exciting for him. Who else has been on fire? Travis Head, unbelievable 100 the other night. He's been terrific form, and that continues. And Paddy Cummins, just a couple of days ago, got named Cricketer of the Year, Wisdom's Cricketer of the Year. And he's been in good form as well. So lots of Aussies doing well. Mitch Marsh has gone home with that hamstring strain. We don't know, still don't know how bad that is. So hopefully he's going to be okay for the World Cup. But yeah, all eyes on the Aussies leading into that World Cup, which is not too far away.
Loz, how is Singapore, mate? Good to have you back.
Morning, boys. Great to hear from Pup. Great to see you, Middo. Yeah, Singapore was really good. Got through plenty of work, obviously, over there for an International Rugby League board meeting. Plenty on the agenda. Obviously, can't speak a lot about what happened inside the board meeting, but it was quite busy. And you do understand the issues that administrators face with sport. It's certainly something I learnt about the challenges that are happening and will continue to happen in the future. But yeah, all in all, it was good. We got plenty done. I got to meet a lot of interesting people on the board, a lot of very knowledgeable people, a lot of people that have a love and passion for the game. And some pretty highly credentialed people. So it was, it was a good learning curve and good to sit in on that type of meeting to get a bigger picture of what international football is all about.
I'm sure fitting everything in the schedule, especially for the top tier nations, that's the big challenge.
It's a challenge. It is a challenge because of the competitions that are run, the amount of football that is being played. Player welfare is a big one, as you can imagine, with concussion being a strong debate. And we know there's sort of, I found out this class action's actually happening overseas in terms of head injuries and things like that. But yeah, it was really good to sit down in a room and speak about the challenges and the exciting things that are happening with the game. And it's good to be home, though. I know that. I sat on that plane yesterday when I was leaving Singapore. It was quite warm over there, but you get a greater appreciation when you leave Australia, how good Australia is when you land back on the shores. And then I sat down and watched the footy last night, and I thought it was a good, tight game of footy. A few controversial issues coming out of the game.
Yeah, Trent Robinson's not happy.
No, he's not happy. It's one of those things, isn't it? Melbourne, they've just got such a great resilience to hang in there. Like, even last night, I didn't think they looked great to the eye, but they're playing a different football, Melbourne, and I think they changed it up a little bit from last week because I think they used the ball a little bit more rather than sort of going one out. And I think when they went one out against the Bulldogs, they sort of got bashed a little bit. But last night when they moved the ball, it still looked clunky, but I think that's the style of footy Melbourne have to go with and evolve if they're to challenge for the comp, because I think the other way, I think they'll win games of footy, but I don't think it'll be good enough when it gets to the big games.
We have to take them very seriously now, don't we, Lots, in regards to their premiership aspirations, don't we? I mean, still, although their biggest win has been 8 points, which was against Penrith, funnily enough, in round one. But like you say, they just win. They find ways to win.
Well, it's remarkable, Mido, because I look at them and I don't see them being anywhere near their best, but they're sitting on top of the competition table, and you don't need to be at your best this time of year. But I get back to what I saw last night and what I've seen a couple of times this year. They've tried to move the ball, and at this stage it doesn't suit them because it just looks too clunky and not enough rhythm in their attack. But I think that's the style they have to go with if they're to win, and it will get better as the season goes on. Now, they're a footy team that I look at and go, that style can win a comp, but that style is nowhere near winning a comp at the moment. So that's the advantage I reckon they have, rather than being in this methodical mode, which we know Melbourne always get into, and they just win games of football and then get to the finals and they sort of can't go to that next level. I think this style of footy can take them to that next level.
It's just got players, though, when they need it, can pull off that individual brilliance. Like we saw it, the Jerome Hughes try. How he just sprinted at that gap when the ball was tapped back and to score that try. And then Coates at the end.
Well, they've got aerial threats, haven't they, on both wings? Actually, last night, both teams had aerial threats. And I think were all the tries scored off kicks?
Close to.
But when you had Swalee and Tupu, both men over 6'3", and then Warbrick and Coates, both men to be over 6'3". So there's aerial targets there. And I know we'll talk about the incidents. I don't know but whether we'll talk about them now or after 6 o'clock when we get deeper into it. But, they've both got threats on either side of the park when the ball goes in the air. Both teams had their chances to win the games, but the Roosters, I think they'd be disappointed with their execution. Well, execution, but also discipline. Their discipline at times probably let them down.
Well, the Roosters now, as far as the ladder is concerned, they're 3 wins, 4 losses, the Roosters. And the Melbourne Storm, well, there they are, 5 wins, 1 loss. And top of the ladder as it stands, 7 rounds into the season, this being the 7th round. Rugby league taking off in India yet, pup?
Not at this stage. What about an Origin at Eden Gardens with 100,000? Mind that, Loz?
I like the idea of it. I like the idea of it for sure.
I reckon rugby league might be a little bit physical for India. I think they're not that Australia's not a loving nation, but India are quite soft and very loving. So I'm not sure. Well, you never say never. I'm sure there's footy played somewhere. I just haven't seen it in the streets, but lots of cricket, Mido, that's for sure. Every single year I come here, you just try and think of words to describe, I'll call it organised chaos with this IPL, but it's just so hard to describe it. Just the, I was going to the game the other day, Mumbai versus Chennai. So Mumbai's Rohit Sharma, who's the current Indian captain, and Chennai is MS Dhoni, and I can only describe it as like Caxton Street during State of Origin. The whole way, it's a half an hour drive to the stadium from the hotel. The whole way is just, the streets are absolutely full. Sachin Tendulkar is still probably the number one favoured cricketer that I've ever seen in my time in this country. But I tell you what, MS Dhoni is not far away. They absolutely adore him. So much praise and love for him. And every game he plays, there's just Dhoni jerseys and that Chennai yellow jersey everywhere in the stand. Even it's like whatever ground he plays at, it's like a home game for Chennai.
I was reading yesterday while I was in Singapore waiting for the flight to leave, and I was reading it online, that the English cricket, I don't know whether you've heard or read about this, the English cricket now, are using Kookaburra balls rather
county
than the
cricket.
Duke balls at to get ready for the Ashes. Is that a good, bad thing? Because they're blowing up, apparently.
I think what they're trying to do as well, Loz, like in one day cricket all around the world, we use a Kookaburra ball. So it's one ball no matter where you play. I think there's a few people that would like one ball in test cricket all around the world as well. So I read and heard what Robert Key, who I think is director of cricket for the ECB for England, and was a wonderful player as well. I read what he said the other day, and he thinks in England conditions over there in the county system, it just helps the batting a little bit. So they're certainly this time of the year, at the start of the season in county cricket, they're really a bowl of friendly pitches. And the Duke ball is harder than a Kookaburra ball, so it swings for longer and it stays newer for longer, which makes obviously movement of the ball seam, the seam on the ball stays harder, and then obviously that shine stays on longer on a Duke ball, which allows it to swing more, which is harder for batting. The Kookaburra roughs up a lot easier. So he was saying he really likes it. He thinks it's very good. He thinks it's the right call for county cricket moving forward. I don't know. It's an interesting one. If it evens the playing field over in county cricket, 100%, I understand it. If it's about preparing to play against a Kookaburra ball in Australia, I don't really know how significant it's going to be, because conditions are so different in Australia in regards to heat compared to England. Pitches are so different compared to England. Speed of the pitch is so different. Size of outfields are different. There's a lot of differences. What it does, it allows a bowler to get a Kookaburra ball in his hands, but you can do that in the nets as well, a month leading up to an Ashes series. So, and the other thing, if you use the Kookaburra in India, for example, it would last five overs. Like, it would just get absolutely smashed on these pitches. So I don't know if it's possible to use all around the world one ball in Test cricket. But it seems to be, Rob Key seems certainly in favour of it in the county system.
X Factor strikes, Chooks, inform Storm Star can't be held back on the back page of the Daily Telegraph today. And there is what proved to be the match-winning try with Xavier Coates going over. Also on the back page, there's a rooster as well on the back page under the headline, Madge's G.I. Joe. Maguire eyeing off his own version of Inglis, and Bulldogs written this story that, the information of the Telegraph is that Joseph Swalee is being heavily considered for a wing spot for New South Wales, Loz, and then be intriguing considering he's, of course, off to rugby next year. Zach Lomax playing so well for the Dragons. We expect Brian To'o to be one of those wingers for New South Wales, but pick the best here and now, right? Joseph Swalee. Would you have a problem if he was picked, basically, for New South Wales?
It's pretty hard to say. What would I have an issue? Because I think, for me, Origin's all about winning and picking the best people and picking the ones that are eligible to play. If it came down to Swalee and Lomax, then I would go Lomax because of the fact that he's staying in rugby league. But that's easy for me to say rather than when my head's not on the chopping block. And Madge will be just looking at the best possible players. But one thing I will say about this, you'll have five or six people in the mix because they cannot rule anyone in or anyone out because you just don't know what's going to happen between now and Origin selection. So I could name three other, four other, five other wingers that would be discussed. So for me, it's not a massive story, because you know that those guys are part of the mix. They're just a story. And you can't rule them in, rule them out, because if anything happened... So if you lost Brian To'o, if you lost Josh Adokar, if you lost Zach Lomax, would I be picking Joe Swalee?
Yes.
Yes. Most definitely. But if those other players, and they're just a couple I named off the top of my head, were playing really well, he might find it hard to get into that footy team.
And we'll get into some of Trent Robinson's gripes in his post-match media conference after the news at 6. Just a few more of these headlines. So on the back page of the Courier Mail today, and of course the Broncos have the Raiders tomorrow night at Suncorp, but runaway success, again an Origin theme here, Super Selwyn. Why Maroons coach Slater predicts Cobbo will become a champion Origin centre after sizzling backline shift is the headline there. So and it has been pretty seamless, hasn't it, Loz, moving Selwyn in from the wing. He's been a success so far and looks like he'd handle the position in Origin no problems at all.
Yeah, I think he looks more comfortable as a centre than a winger. I think that's a position that he played and he knows very well as a kid coming through a system and also a little bit of fullback. But Selwyn Cobbo, I think he's a massive guy, And you could tell, where did I coach him in that Indigenous All-Stars game? A couple of years ago, back then, before he'd even played first grade, I think. Well, he might have played one first grade. I'm unsure.
I think it was just before.
You just knew he was going to be something special. Just had to, you know, obviously work on becoming that professional player, as all kids do when they leave their junior football system. But no, he's a wonderful player, Selwyn.
On the back page of the Herald, we're not that club anymore. And this is the West Tigers interim chief executive Shane Richardson talking about, well, a club that doesn't lose players, they're saying. And the big news you're both away for, obviously, in the last couple of days, is that James Fisher-Harris set to head to the Warriors next year, released from his last couple of years there at Penrith. Huge signing for the Warriors. And we'll get into the implications of that. But just this headline already, the focus has turned to who could replace Fisher-Harris there at Penrith, and that Penrith could go after someone like Stefano Wituikumanu from the West Tigers. And that he's got a couple of unique clauses, according to reports in his contracts, that, well, for his contract to be triggered for next year, the Tigers would have to make the eight, or he'd have to play two more Origin games for New South Wales this year. Unusual, but Shane Richardson here just, I guess, saying to Tigers fans, we're not going to lose him because we're a club now that keeps players rather than loses them. So, and he's had a pretty good start to the season. Looks like he's playing a level above than what he was last year.
Yeah, I think he's been great. I think he's got a big future, Stefano. Last year, I think he got selected for Origin before his time. Wasn't quite ready for it. But I think he's a guy now that you can actually see that is a player of high quality and is someone in a really good system. You don't know what his potential or ceiling will be. And that's why the Tigers have to convince him that their football program is the right one for him to achieve his goals and aspirations. Because if you look at what Penrith have been able to do with all their players and the amount of players they've lost over the last couple of years, and they just kept rolling them out or keep rolling them out, and they put him in a successful system and they have success, he might be sitting back going, how long is it going to take to achieve this type of success at the Tigers? And is this where I want to be? But if the Tigers come to the party and offer him a massive deal and he thinks the footy program's run well by Benji, then he's a big chance of staying.
Also, back page of the Herald, call on Pekowski, delayed by concussion symptoms. So Papa Pennell's supposed to be getting together to sort of, you know, help decide his future in the game, basically, after he had another concussion late in the domestic season, not playing county cricket. He was signed to play over there and hasn't gone over. But he's still having concussion symptoms. And we saw another AFL player this week, Nathan Murphy of Collingwood, retire at just 24 after he had ongoing concussion symptoms from being concussed in the first quarter of the grand final last year. So you do wonder where this will all end with Will Pekowski.
Yeah. Yeah, very scary, Mido, and feel for Will at the moment. But it does seem like he's got a number of specialists in and around him to help him with these decisions, which I think is very important. I think it's very easy from a distance to say, oh, mate, he just can't play cricket anymore. But can you imagine, you know, that dream being taken away from any athlete? So I understand the predicament. I love that he's got expertise around him to help guide him through this period and help him make the right decision and the best decision for him and his health. I think that needs to be first and foremost. Hopefully that does allow him to keep playing cricket. At what level, I don't know. I think this is just going to be, I think it's a smart decision to pull out of county cricket. There's no doubt about it. Spend some time working out what's right and then make a decision and then whatever it is, make it work. But yeah, I wish him well with it because he's a lovely young kid.